said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, welcome everybody to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We have with us, of course, Country Joe himself.
Hey, I'm right here.
Very good. And we have our first guest with us today is Carol Carius. And we are going to be talking turkey with Carol today. Welcome, Carol.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, we love having you on. This is the time of year and everybody's thinking about turkeys. So tell us what you do with turkeys and we'll start from there.
Well, for one thing, I eat turkeys. I am an omnivore, and turkey is a favored food source of mine. It's great meat. It's great quality meat, and they're fun birds to raise and fun birds to have in your life.
They are. I've got a bunch right now.
And what kind do you have right now, Joe?
I get the White Holland.
Ah, good, good. Mm-hmm. A nice medium-sized turkey.
Yep, yep. And those are good. And then I also have the bigger ones, the white meat turkeys. the big meat producers, one that get right up there in weight. I have some
of them.
Uh-huh.
So some of the broad-breasted whites?
Broad-breasted whites, yep. And, I was thinking about getting some heritage turkeys. A couple of friends of mine, say, oh, you got to eat a heritage turkey. It tastes a lot different than a regular turkey. So we're going to probably try that.
Well, interestingly, Mother Earth News, the folks at Mother Earth News and the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy and the Slow Food folks did a taste testing a couple of years ago. Totally blind taste testing. They included a butterball on the menu, and I think it was 7 different heritage turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And by far, the heritage turkeys outscored every time on the butterball.
Yeah, I've heard that. I hear that all the time.
Part of it is they tend to be raised more because they're smaller scale production. I mean, part of the taste advantage is that they're raised, they get outside, they get to eat some bugs, they get to live like turkeys were supposed to live. And I honestly think that's part of the taste advantage.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
They say you are what you eat. And so it would make sense that a turkey that eats better, tastes better.
Yep.
Better. And the butterballs and the industrial turkeys are raised. I mean, there could be 100,000 turkeys on a single farm. No matter what, there's going to be differences in how they come out of that situation compared to how they come out of the backyard of a small-scale producer.
Definitely, definitely. Oh, yeah, because like I said, we can pay more attention to our turkeys when you're raising them just a few at a time. And that makes a big, big difference. You hear all kinds of horror stories about the commercial turkeys anyway, what they feed them and all of that.
Well, and in any of the industrial barns, whether it's chickens or turkeys or what, they use really high quantities of chlorine in the water to help stave off disease. They may be using medicated feed routinely, and that's it. Small-scale producers don't raise meat that way.
Yeah, that's true.
And now what type of turkeys do you raise right now, Carol?
Well, at this point in my life, I'm not raising them anymore. I'm getting a little long in the tooth myself. And so at this point, my husband and I are actually supporting some younger farmers who are raising heritage turkeys. This year, I'm looking forward to enjoying a slate turkey.
Wow.
That's one of the heritage breeds, and we've got a friend that's raising them. They're in their 30s, and so we're helping to support the next generation of small farmers on the turkey front.
Now, slate turkeys are on the rare side.
They are on the rare side, and they were one of the top tasters at that tasting test that the Slow Food and Livestock Conservancy folks did. So I'm looking forward. This will be my first time having one of the slate turkeys, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Wow. So when you did raise turkeys, what kind did you do?
We did standard bronzes. So in turkeydom, there's the issue of the broad-breasted turkeys, which have been raised really since the 1950s and selected for since the 1950s to have that really giant breast.
Uh-huh.
They can't reproduce naturally anymore. So
right.
All of the turkeys, all those butterballs you buy, They're all the result of artificial insemination.
That's right.
But the standard turkey, so we did raise standard bronzes that were breeding at home bronzes, and we raised some of the midget whites, which are a little turkey, but they're bigger than, say, a big chicken. They're bigger than, like, the Jersey giant chicken, but not by a whole lot bigger. So they're a great turkey for small-scale backyard because they're actually an ideal size meal.
Yeah, about a 12-pound turkey, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. So there you butcher it, and you get a great Sunday dinner for, you know, you and the family, but you're not, like, dealing with turkey leftovers for the next 6 weeks.
Now, heritage turkeys take a lot longer than the meat turkeys. The heritage turkeys are up to, what, 28 or 30 weeks to get those?
Right, they grow slower because, again, they haven't been selected for just as fast a growth as you can put on them, and they're not force-fed for fast growth.
Right.
So they are a slower growing bird. That's true of any of the heritage chickens as well. They tend to be slower growers. But if you're raising them for yourself or for a small scale market, do you want to try and compete on the commodity side? Well, you're not going to make any money anyway. So you want to compete by putting out a bird that when people eat your chicken or your turkey, they go, I want to eat that one again next year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm willing to pay extra for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and one of the things we talked about ahead of time was wanted to talk about the difference between why turkeys have different varieties instead of breeds. Now, we've only got 2 minutes left for this segment.
Darn, that is a 10-minute talk. But actually, so with animals, we're used to breeds, you know, German Shepherds and Golden Retrievers and Chihuahuas, right? Well, farm animals have breeds too, except in turkeydom, they never broke out and called them different breeds. They called them varieties, which is normally within a breed, but a slightly different color or a different,
That's
slightly
like with,
different attributes from one
like
farm
to another.
Like
Cocker Spaniels on the dog shows, do you have the Ascot any solid color other than black? And that's a variety,
a different breed. Exactly. So the powers that be, which in the case of poultry is the American Poultry Association, has always kind of leaned toward they're just varieties of a turkey. But there's a movement afoot among heritage breeders in particular that we should acknowledge these different varieties as actually different breeds. And when you look at what constitutes a breed, I think they should constitute different breeds now. So that's a politics of poultry discussion that's going on between breeders at this time.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we are running out of time for this segment, but can we have you back on in another minute or so?
I'd be happy to.
That would be great. All right. We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show, talking turkey on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you were referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. Here talking some turkey with Carol Acarius. Now, we were just going over the different between varieties and breeds, and you say there is a movement afoot to get them recognized as different breeds, which it seems to just make sense when you look at
right. Like, and I think if you look at something like breeds are based on phenotypic things, so color and hair type for a dog or feather type for a poultry breed, and they're also on production characteristics. So, you know, I mentioned that we have raised the midget whites in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's got a very different production approach for that bird than some of the others. It's a much smaller bodied bird. A really big tom in the midget whites will go maybe 20 pounds.
Wow.
Whereas a big tom mm-hmm. in some of the other breeds can easily go 50 pounds live weight. And
yeah,
then figure out after you butcher, you're going to get half of that.
Right. And like I say, especially down here in Florida, it's a lot of retirement people, and they don't want a big turkey. They, you know, when they come to me to buy a turkey, they're always looking for the lower end, you know, a 14 pound, a 12 pound, because there's only like two people or three people the most that are going to be eating the turkey. And
right.
And you have a real hard time, you know, regulating a turkey's weight. They pretty much grow all the same, you know, when you get, especially, you know, your commercial whites. But that's why I was interested in maybe next year of integrating some of the white midget turkeys in there, that which would be a perfect situation for a lot of people. I noticed this year I'm already taking my turkey orders, and again I've probably got 25 or 30 people that are, you know, saying I want a small turkey rather than a big turkey.
I want the smallest one you've got instead of the biggest bird.
Exactly.
And I think that's as we've moved more away from really large families and all, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. I know I live in Colorado, but most of my family lives back east. So, you know, when it's my husband and I, we don't need a big bird for two of us.
That's exactly what I hear, almost word for word.
Yeah, and that midget white is just, it's an ideal bird. And when they were in the taste testing, they tested very high. So they're a smaller carcass, but they put out a really juicy, meaty bird. So, you know, they're proportioned well to that smaller size.
Now, how many weeks to get them up to market? Is that
They're also kind of slow. I would say you're probably looking at 24 weeks or so.
Uh-huh.
Because they're smaller, but they're growing proportionally slower than some of the industrial birds.
Yeah, the industrial birds out here are 18 weeks, and you've got a 30-pound bird.
Yep. That's right. At 16 to 18, you can butcher, and at 20, you're already going, oh, man, that's way too big of a bird.
Oh, that happened to me before. And you talked about 50-pound chickens. One of my neighbors on my road let them go, and he had 50-pound turkeys, and he didn't know what to do with them, you know?
Yeah. The first year we ever grew turkeys, it's kind of funny because we just had standard broad-breasted whites that we bought at the feed store. And mm-hmm. my nephew was going to raise them as a farm project with us. And we kept looking at them and going, I don't know. You think they're right? You think we should take them in? And we took them in to the butcher. We were living in Minnesota at the time, and we had a great USDA poultry butcher nearby mm-hmm. that would butcher and vacuum wrap and freeze the carcasses. And we go to pick them up the next week, and the guy says, oh, wait a minute. The gal didn't fill out the form all the way. And then he came back and said, oh, they topped the scale that went to 35 pounds for dress weight.
God, and, I know.
And they were like way too big to go in the oven.
I was going to say, you need a bigger oven for that. That's the kind of bird that you'd kind of look to donate to a commercial, to a food pantry or something that has a really big oven that you can just
It took the whole oven. I mean, there wasn't a speck of room left in our oven.
Well, that's what happened to my neighbor. He ended up having to cut them in half. Because that's how big they got. And I don't think they were all that tender the way he was talking. So I don't know if he let them go too far. They might have got a little
tough. Ours actually, I mean, I will say they turned out to be juicy and tasty in spite of their size. But we learned a big lesson with that first batch of turkeys. And that was 30 years ago. And I can tell you there wasn't as much literature as there is today, and you didn't have websites to look up stuff, so we were really on our own learning at that point in time.
And you didn't have Country Joe's Chicken Show on the radio either.
We did not have Country Joe to give us any information on this stuff.
So our listeners can learn from your, shall we say, mistake? And not start on the too big to fit in your oven size scale. Now, are the ones you talked about, are they the only smaller turkey, or are there several varieties?
There was a belt still small, but I don't think you can find those anywhere anymore, but you can still find the midget white. So if you're looking for a smaller turkey, it's the one to look for.
Now, the heritage turkeys don't get that much bigger, do they? Like the slate, you were talking about the slate turkey. That's not a real big turkey either.
They tend to not get quite that giant of a breast and quite that giant a weight. So they do tend to be a bit smaller than those industrial birds.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And we know they're prettier too, so, you know.
Oh, my gosh. If you've ever seen like a royal palm turkey.
Yes.
This is just a beautiful bird. You know, even if you don't want to eat turkey and you just want some backyard animals, the royal palm is so gorgeous and worth having around just for its beauty.
Now, you have to describe it for us because we're on radio, so.
Well, it's primarily white but with black highlights on it, and it is a large bird. It gets very tall. The toms get really tall, and when they put their tail up, it has the effect of like a lady's fan with white and black stripes on it. Like you could picture some 1800s woman fanning herself with this gorgeous fan. So they're very pretty.
The black feathers, they have the black and integrated in there. Yeah. That turkey's also, the hens go what, about 12 pounds or the toms around 20? That's not a real.
Yeah. The royal palm's bigger. The toms will get up to 28 or so.
Mm-hmm.
For a fully mature tom, you can butcher obviously earlier, but if you let them go and you keep them as breeding stock, you know, you're going to see 28-pound toms, and you're going to see probably 22-pound hens.
Wow.
So they're a pretty good-sized bird. They can stand, you know, a tom can stand 2.5 to 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's the height of some of the wild ones that I see around here up outside of Boston.
Yeah, and wild turkeys are making a comeback. So that's the other thing people should think about with turkeys, that it truly is an American bird. The wild turkey was native to North America and Central America. And so you're supporting your native flora and fauna when you're buying turkey that's raised here.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the white turkey is really popular because you don't notice the pin feathers. You know, that's why I quit doing bourbons, you know.
And I think if people are marketing me, you know, the pin feathers, the dark colored pin feathers will leave a little smudge of darkness under the skin.
And
for some reason nowadays, that's considered, you know, unattractive. It doesn't take away from the flavor of the meat or anything else. It's just sort of a emotional thing. But
it
if
is,
you do
want
to market, then that's, you know, the white turkeys and the palms are good because they're mainly white.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get that smudging from them. But if you grow like a broad-breasted bronze,
yes, that's what I used to do,
or a Narragansett, you're going to get that smudge under the skin.
And yeah, and everybody used to complain about that. They, you know, oh, Joe, look at that. Oh, God, I don't like that. Yeah. Or I don't like the looks of that. So that's when
What's wrong with it, kind of thing.
So that's when I went to the white turkeys, never got another complaint.
Yep. Color discrimination for birds, yeah, you know?
It is.
Carol, I want to thank you so much. Joe hates when I say this, but we are out of time for this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was glad to be on, and I hope everyone enjoys their turkey day.
Yeah.
Yes, and I hope you enjoy your – you'll have to come back and tell us how that slate turkey was for your Thanksgiving.
I'm salivating about it right now.
All right, folks, we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, Joe, we have our next guest with us, and this is Christine Heinrichs.
Yes, and I've heard of her.
I know you have, and I have her two books in front of me, How to Raise Chickens and How to Raise Poultry, and being as the time of year we're recording this, right on the cover of the How to Raise Poultry in the bottom right-hand corner is a very handsome turkey.
Wow, how'd you get those books? I didn't get no books. Wow.
I'm more special than you are, Joe.
I guess, apparently. God, I guess.
You're too busy taking care of your actual chickens, see?
Well. Okay, well, I guess where I first heard of you, Christine, was when with these chickens from the Easter Islands, Rapa Nui's.
Oh, right, yes, in Backyard Poultry Magazine.
Right, yes. So, yeah, I'm still getting over those, but those are something. Kermit on.
Yeah, Kermit Blackwood on with us talking about those. How did you get involved with that article and with writing about those?
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
I've worked with Kermit on and off. We've worked together for some years now, I don't know, 8-10 years. You know, he often doesn't have time to sit down and write up his findings, or doesn't feel that by the time he gets done that he's really happy with the result. So it's, you know, I find for myself it's always worthwhile to have another set of eyes on my work. So we kind of work together. He's really has more of the expert knowledge about those birds. He's very he's worked with all kinds of unusual pheasants and chickens, and is really very expert in that. And so I can bring to it, you know, a sympathy and a background knowledge about poultry, but also my ability to write and my experience as a professional writer.
Uh-huh. Now, have you ever been near these chickens or seen them in person, or is this just...
You know, I have not.
Uh-huh.
So he's really the expert on that.
Yeah.
I'd love to. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I'd like to go to Easter Island and see him.
Oh, boy, I would. The one that looks just like a crow. I thought it was a crow when I first saw it in the magazine. Looks just like a crow. I've never seen a black chicken like that.
They're so unusual. And, of course, the connection that they tell us about between Easter Island and Polynesia is historically fascinating.
Yeah.
So they're definitely an artifact that tells us a lot about the humans that they traveled with.
That's mm-hmm. right. And, you know, it's interesting, all the different, on Easter Island, the different sizes of chickens, the ones that lived on the shore and ate, you know, the crabs and things when the tide went out, and the smaller birds that lived in the moas and the bigger birds. And it's all like, it's very much similar to Darwin's study in the Galapagos of the island critters and how they evolved differently.
Wow.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And that's that. There's a similar situation with the jungle fowl in Southeast Asia, that the green jungle fowl have characteristics that are quite different from the red jungle fowl that are in India. And in fact, they're sufficiently separated genetically that they don't even interbreed very well.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That's interesting. Wow.
I did not know that. I thought they would be so similar just because, you know, mm-hmm. I'm a reader, so I see red jungle fowl, green jungle fowl, you know, maybe a few feathers difference in color here and there.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, they're really, and that's actually, Kermit is certainly the expert on that too, as well as a young man named Thomas Condon, who's studying he's working on a master's degree in Georgia. I forget the name exactly which school, but he's done a lot of work and gone to India. I have some great pictures of him riding an elephant in India looking for jungle fowl.
Wow. Any success?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Karen, in that book, How to Raise Chickens, that you've got in front of you, there are some of his pictures. Let me see if I can find what page they're on. So, yeah, that's definitely fun.
Uh-huh. And, you know, one of the things I noticed in the How to Raise Poultry book was one of the first birds you got involved with writing about was the Nene goose.
Oh, yes. I just love those. You know, I have a desire to write a book about them, but not being on the island, it's tough. The Nene goose is the state bird of Hawaii and is native to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And, they're so sweet. They have such good temperament that they sort of naturally turn into pets. So it's really hard to get people not to feed them because then they spend too much time on land. They go on, you know, when you have that interaction between people and wildlife and people start feeding the wildlife, it rarely mm-hmm. turns out well for the wildlife.
Right,
and
yeah.
So that's, they turn into, the Nene goose become roadkill very easily, and there's not very many of them. There are a lot of people who are working very hard to increase their population and bring them back. They can be kept. I have seen some at shows. You occasionally see them at a poultry show, but they're definitely an interesting bird.
They sound extremely rare. I assume they are, right?
They are. They uh-huh. are. There's not many left. Karen, on page 26 of that, How to Raise Chickens, there's a picture of that red jungle fowl in the jungle, and he just blends in so beautifully. If you didn't know he was there, you might not see him.
Yeah, and you know, you see, when you see chickens in like a barnyard, you think, why is that spectacularly colored critter there where they're so obvious? But in the photo in the book, you're right, because it almost could be a fall New England scene, you know, all the oranges and browns and golds of the leaves on the ground there in the jungle. And he really, the only thing that really sticks out is his red comb that happens to be right in front of a tree trunk.
And then, Right, yes. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to these Hawaiian chickens, they're only found in Hawaii?
Well, we were talking about Hawaiian geese, the Nene goose.
Yeah, they are only
found in Hawaii.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So they're the state bird over there. They're a small goose. They're relatively terrestrial. They like to walk around on land.
Wow.
Yeah, so, they do fly. They do migrate. They live mostly up in the highlands now because mm-hmm. they've lost so much of their habitat. But
Are they on all the islands or just the Big Island? Or
you know, I don't really remember exactly. I know they're on Maui. I'm mm-hmm. not sure if there are any. There may be some populations that are still on Oahu and on the other islands. I'm really not sure.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have to find that out for some future show. You know, Joe, we have not yet done a whole episode on geese.
So
we'll have to, you know, Joe, I'm going to say what Joe hates me to say, Christine, which is we are running out of time for this segment.
Uh-huh.
And I can just feel him wince when I say that. Will you stick with us?
I sure will.
Folks, we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are talking with Christine Heinrichs, and while we were just talking about the Nene goose, her books are How to Raise Chickens. Now, was that first before How to Raise Poultry, or what order did they happen in?
They happened, that was the first book, and that actually came out in 2007. And then they decided to, it was time to revise it 5 years later. And so that's why the books look kind of different. The new revised version of How to Raise Poultry will be out next spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you got any other books?
Those are the only two I have, the only two books I have. Mm-hmm. I write a lot for Backyard Poultry Magazine, for other poultry publications.
Right.
so much changed between 2007 when How to Raise Chickens first came out. You know, when I'd tell people, well, I've got this book about chickens, you know, they typically look at me kind of funny, like real, like eating chickens or what. But now, every time I mention that, every single person is either raising chickens or knows someone who is.
And so that's true.
It is. It's really changed ballistic. In 5 years.
Yeah. You know, and even where I am, I'm up right west of Boston, so I'm in a pretty urban area. But there are people literally in the city of Somerville. I helped my brother-in-law move, and as I was pulling up to his apartment for the first time, I heard his neighbor's rooster crow.
No hiding him. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it's really, it's amazing. They say the chickens are the mascot of the local food movement.
Yes.
Well, and you know, you can't get any more local than eggs grown in your own backyard.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And like you say, they're so fun and pretty. You know, we all have a good time. Do you get a lot of chickens who are proposed for a pet of the day?
You know, I don't get as many as I should. The word has not gotten out, but we have had several chickens over the years. We've been doing this since 1997. So, but we rarely get chickens for pet of the day. But when we do, we had one chicken who was a therapy chicken. She would wear her little diaper and go into hospitals for children to pet and to cheer up little kids in hospitals.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to explain to a friend at church the other day, you know, and she said, I've always thought I should get chickens. And I'm like, well, Nan, you certainly should. And I said, you know, they will... If you get the right kind of chicken, they are very friendly. They will be lap chickens if you let them.
That's true. That's true. And we were talking about, remember the little chickens with Eric there, you know, the Saramas. Those were bred to be a pet chicken in the house, I guess, in Japan or wherever. And I've got some Saramas, and they get really friendly, where they actually want to be held all the time. You open the door on the little cage, and they run over to you because they want to be picked up and held. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. I know that there were some historic interpreters at Colonial Williamsburg who would go to schools, and one of them would bring a little bantam nankin. Those are real small bantams in his pocket. And they're, you know, because they're just so mild-mannered, they were perfectly happy to sit in his pocket, and then he'd bring this out to the kids in the classroom to their delight, of course.
Yes. But, you know, when I saw, going back to the other chickens, every now and then, I love rare chickens. This is my favorite thing is rare chickens. And when I saw that black Rapa Nui, you know, now I'm thinking, boy, I got to get one of those at some time. You know, I just love that. I just love that. That chicken just stands out for me. Like, you know, it looks like a crow. That's all I can think of, you know. And so I guess, I don't know if Kermit knows where to get them or what. He did raise them, he said, or he knew somebody that did.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to say, he's definitely the person I would turn to for information on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your book, How to Raise Poultry, I know we see that there are little ducklings. There's a duckling and a chick on the cover, but an adult male turkey in the little sidebar on the cover. Now, do you cover all kinds of poultry? What are the different species you cover in the book?
Well, I tried to cover everything. I've got a chapter on chickens in there because I thought, you know, anyone who picks up a book on poultry is going to expect there to be something on chickens. But it's also about, you know, that's the first step. It's a slippery slope, though.
It is.
Pretty soon you're into
ducks. Ask Joe's wife, because you start with rare chickens, and then, oh, boy.
It all breaks loose.
Right. You start learning. That's actually how I kind of got into it. You just get some chicks, and you think, oh, well, they're chickens. And then I started learning about them, and, you know, I couldn't stop. So anyway, in poultry, there's ducks and geese. I even covered swans, which are not usually raised domestically, but they are somewhat domesticated, so I thought I'd put those in there, and they're so pretty. And, of course, turkeys. Guinea fowl. Guinea fowl have not really become as popular as they once were, but they're a real nice bird, and I have never even had it the opportunity to eat one, although they say that they're delicious, and
yes,
they were very popular in Victorian times.
I know, yes, they're very noisy.
They're very noisy, and I always think of them as they're good for eating ticks. That's the job that they do at the have you heard of the Heifer Project?
Yes, I have.
The Heifer Project has a farm about 45 minutes from where I live, and you walk into the barn and you hear the guinea fowl, and they have guinea fowl wandering through the barn eating all the ticks in the hay.
That's wonderful. Oh, I'd like to write about that. That's really interesting. Yes, they're very good because they do eat insects without destroying the garden, which if you have your chickens in your garden, you know that they will eat everything. So
then you will have your chickens and not a garden. So
right,
exactly. You either fence the chickens or you fence the garden.
Right,
that's the only way you can manage to coexist with chickens in the garden. But yeah, there's even a chapter in there on ratites, which are ostriches and emus, and those flightless birds.
I had emus.
Did you?
I had emus. I had 6 or 8 of them out here at one time. I don't have any now, but they can jump over a 5-foot fence. That's why I don't have them.
Yeah, they're a bigger commitment.
Yep.
But they have the coolest looking eggs I've ever seen.
Yeah, I got them. They're great, big, dark blue.
Yeah, the dark blue green eggs, they really look like dinosaur eggs. You look at those eggs and you say, okay, yes, birds and dinosaurs are connected. They just have to be.
Well, yeah, you know, we got one once and ate it, and we had to use we used a drill. My husband got his drill out to drill into it because it was so hard, and we wanted to save the egg.
Yeah. Yeah. And another bird that I had, it just happened to come with this bunch, was a rhea. You ever hear of a rhea?
I have rheas in there.
Yes. Well, I had a rhea, and the woman didn't want it anymore, so I took it along with the – and a rhea looks – well, I don't know if you call it like an emu, but it's in that family, right? And, you know, he got along – he thought he was an emu. So he got along great. But when they all escaped on me, they all went over the 5-foot fence, and there was one of them there, and I just – there's no talking 125-pound bird into –
No, and of course that's why their eggs are so tough. You know, if something that size is going to sit on it and incubate it, it better have a sturdy shell.
Yeah, you and know, they're a lot of fun, and they make a noise, that drumming noise, and it echoes.
Right.
It sounds just like a drum out of their chest, and it sounds, you can't pinpoint it, but and I could never figure out whether it's the male or the female making the drumming noise.
You know, I'm not sure. I think it's the male, but I'm not sure. It might be that both make it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
well, that'll be something to find out for your next edition of the book, Joe. I'm going to say it. We are out of time for this segment. Christine, will you stick with us?
Yeah.
I will. There's more to be said.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show. You're on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear conscience pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now, Christine, because we always run out of time near the end of segments, and Joe always winces. I've never seen his face when I say that, but I can just feel it. I want to first give you an opportunity to tell people how they could get a copy of your book if they are interested in either chickens or poultry or both.
Well, of course, you can get it at your local bookstore there, or you can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at Lowe's. Lowe's is now selling the chickens book. I'm not sure if they have the poultry book or not. But, certainly if you can't find it, just give your local bookstore a call. But BarnesandNoble.com or on the Barnes & Noble shelves, it's available through all the major retailers.
And if they want to search for it by your last name, would you spell that for people just in case they want to write it down?
Sure. It's H-E-I-N as in Nancy, R-I-C-H, S as in Sam.
So that's often when I'm looking for a book, especially if it's something with a fairly generic title like How to Raise Chickens, I'll go for the authored name. So Christine Heinrichs is our author that we're speaking to on How to Raise Chickens. Now, do you have any chickens or any poultry of your own right now?
I sure do. I live in town, and so we only have a regular backyard, but I've got 6 girls right now. They're all different breeds. I've got a white Dorking. She's pretty rare. I raised her out of some eggs that I got from a friend back in Illinois. And I've got a speckled Sussex. She's my best mother. She loves to raise babies, and so I try to get her some eggs every year when she gets broody. This past year, I got her 2 wild turkey eggs. One of our neighbors found an abandoned turkey nest, and she raised 2 wild turkeys.
Wow.
And she was such a good mother. It got to the point, though, where they were still trying to get under her wings, and they were bigger than she was.
I was going to say, that must have been kind of funny looking after a while.
It was pretty weird.
Yeah.
But she was ready to see them go, and we didn't really have space for them. So they moved to a graduate institute south of here that had an organic garden and some chickens and wanted some turkeys to go with. So they are living a happy life as interpretive birds down there. Let's see, I've got a Partridge Rock. She's a nice girl, but she hasn't been as good of a layer as I had hoped. So I've been a little disappointed with her. But, you know, we still keep her around. And then this past year, we went down to a poultry show, and my husband and I talked about it in advance and said, you know, are we going to get any more chickens? No, we're good with the 3 girls we have. We got the turkeys, you know, we got enough headaches. And so we didn't bother bringing a cage with us. Well, you know how this story goes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we brought the chickens home in a box, and I found 3 beautiful girls. I just couldn't resist. One is a Welsomer, and she is now laying her lovely dark brown eggs now. One was an Ancona, and I hadn't had any Anconas before. They're similar to Leghorns.
Uh-huh.
They're an Italian egg breed. And she's a very nice layer of white eggs. And then there was a blue-laced red wine dot. That's not a recognized color, but Joe, if you like rare chickens,
yeah,
it's definitely, she's a beauty. She's sort of, she's reddish, but with that blue lacing, she looks like she's sort of got a cloud of blue fog around her. She's really a beautiful chicken. And
sounds
she's
it,
huge.
Yeah.
She's a nice big Wyandotte. She's really enormous. So I now have those six girls now, and right now it's only the three new girls that are laying. The other girls have been in their molt, and they're taking some time off right now.
No roosters, huh?
You know, I had a lovely rooster, but my neighbor complained, so I had to. He had to find a new home.
That's true.
That's what around here in the Boston area, there at the town I used to live in. I'm in Waltham now, but I lived in Newton for many years, where you were permitted to have a certain number of chickens, but you were not permitted to have a rooster.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, yeah, a friend of mine got some chicks, and she said the first two of the six turned out to be roosters, and she said the first time I woke up in the morning and one of them looked at me and went rrr, rrr, she went
yep. Oh, I know how loud that can be, especially when you got multiple roosters and going all day, and on full moons they go at night.
Yeah, yes, I'm not unsympathetic to the reason why in most places in town you can't have a rooster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a complete myth. If anybody who is listening to any of our listeners don't know this, it is a complete myth that roosters crow only at dawn.
Yeah, I guess
right,
so.
Right, yes.
It's all day.
Roosters crow when roosters feel like crowing.
You know,
they do.
I got two out here by accident, but I've got two, and it seems like about every 30 seconds they go. You know, I don't know. Mine are just more than what, but one's in one coop and one's in another, and I don't know if they're trying to outdo each other. But about every 30 seconds all day.
Yeah, I can understand that it would be very annoying to people. So, but it, you know, that's why you would usually want to live in the country, because then mm-hmm. That's sort of the music of the farmyard.
That's why I've got no neighbors to complain, so that's just me.
and all the hens that are admiring those roosters crowing away.
That's right. They certainly enjoy that.
And, you know, Christine, you definitely should nominate one of your, maybe your mama chicken.
Yes.
You should definitely nominate her for Pet of the Day. You know, Joe has his turkey. Uh-huh. Pet of the Day.
Oh, okay. What kind of turkey is that, Joe?
Okay, it's a red bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a her. It's a she.
A she.
And yeah. And she just took to me as a chick, and I could never do anything with her that I wanted to do, like eat her. So she just hung around, and that's what she does now. So she just wanders around the yard. She's overweight, and she doesn't go too far. She moves about 10 feet a day. So then I have to pick her up and put her in the coop at night, and that's about the end of her. But that's it. Very, very docile. Doesn't make any noise. You'd never know I had one, you know. It's just so quiet for a turkey. But that's the only turkey I ever had for a pet.
Huh. Well, that, you know, turkeys do make good interpretive birds. You know, they like people, and if they're raised up. See, that was my thought in with these two that my hen hatched out, that, you know, I would make them kind of tame. But she's such a good mother that every time I came out to try to tame them, she'd just go nuts on me. So they, of course, just assumed that, you know, it was important to go nuts if I ever came near them. So that didn't really work out. But I know that there's living history sites that actually use their turkeys. Let's see, there's one in the book here. It's back in, I believe, Virginia, that uses turkeys. They use them to grass the fields, the tobacco fields that they have there.
Hmm.
Huh. You know, I am going to say this horrible thing that Joe always hates for me to say, but we are running out of time for this week.
Week.
Oh, dear.
For this week. Well, Christine, can we have you back on again sometime?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted, Karen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll put you right on the recycle list. And we'll have you back. Yeah, cause I got a lot of stuff I'd like to talk with you about, too. So that'll be fun.
Okay, Joe.
We'd say Joe can talk till the cows came home, but it's till the chickens came home to roost and the turkey is settled in her barn for the night.
Okay.
Well, you know, I want to thank you, everyone, for being with us today, and we'll be back next week. And Joe, can you say it with me?
Yeah, you ready?
I'm ready.
May the flock
be with you.